1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Select locations are now open. Come experience the big screen again in a safe and comfortable environment. Purchase tickets and order food in advance at MarcusTheaters.com or on the Marcus Theaters mobile app. Your seat is waiting.
This is a little weird, but it's the holidays. It's a Wednesday morning edition of Gary Graff because we won't be here on Friday. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you guys?
Great.
On this hump day special.
Yeah, it's end of the week for everybody.
It is. Kind of getaway day.
Do you have any plans for the weekend?
Yeah, it's going to be quiet, of course, you know, because that's the kind of year it is. But, you know, I'm sure we'll eat, and we'll watch Wonder Woman.
You know, that Christmas special, Wonder Woman.
And some football. I know there's an NFL game that day.
And there's wall-to-wall NBA games, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got, what, five of them, right?
Yeah, the NBA wants to be your Christmas experience.
I went to a live basketball NBA game once on Christmas Day. It was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who was it?
Pistons versus somebody. It was a long time
another
ago.
Team in the NBA. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Before we get into music news, how worried are you about your beloved Pittsburgh Steelers?
11. They're going to be 11-5 and knocked out in the first round of the playoffs.
Really?
Very disappointing. What? But, you know, it's ultimately not a team that was built for a 16-game season.
Have you watched the team all year and just waited for something to fall apart, like
no.
Someday?
No, when it comes to the Steelers, I'm the eternal optimist. And, you know, like I say, it's become clear they don't have enough depth to sustain the injuries they're taking.
Right, I was going to say, but it's attrition here, isn't it? I mean, if you had the team you started the season with, would you still feel good about it?
I'd feel okay about it. There were a lot of, not to get too deep into it, but a lot of these, what I call sphincter tightening games, that they played, and there were a lot of them this year, those were red flags. It's like, listen, you know, okay, we're winning. We're coming out of these with wins, and that's a testament to the team. But in the long haul, this is a red flag.
Boy, I feel just the same way about the local sports team here.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I'm a little more optimistic about those guys.
I suspect the defense is very weak.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I
think the Packers are a deeper team. So
it's interesting to hear your perspective on that because
I just
worry my way through games.
We ask people who aren't in the area and have no emotional investment in our local team their opinion, and they go, "No, you got a good football team there." And
I'm sure we watch them a little differently.
And we still don't believe.
That Friday before the Super Bowl, we'll see.
Oh, I have one more sports question.
Sure.
Daryl Bevel is your interim coach in Detroit.
Yes, he is.
Is there any chance he's getting the job?
Zero.
Zero chance.
Not because he's not a good football guy or anything. I don't think the management is at all interested in anybody from the current staff.
Okay, I said I only had one more question for you. How panicked are you about hiring another guy out of the TV booth to come in and help run the football team?
It's just high comedy here.
Because now you hired Chris Spielman.
Oh, boy.
You know, can it be worse than Matt Millen? Let's find out.
Yeah. You don't know where the bottom of that one is. Chris Spielman, I'm sure he's a great guy. But
He is a good dude, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that.
If you're going to at all buy into the Lions, you have to have a good sense of humor.
All right, on to music news. Let's start with Taylor Swift.
She's setting records
with this second album, right?
No big surprise, right? So this year she's had two albums, Folklore and Evermore. Both debuted at number one on the Billboard 200 and with a single that debuted at number one on the Billboard Hot 100. That makes her not just the only female artist, but the only artist in history to do that twice in a year. Number one on the album chart, number one on the single chart debut. She also is now the first woman to have two albums in the top five of the Billboard 200 at the same time. The new one is number one, and then Folklore is at number three right now. So,
who are the other artists who came close to that, or
who came close? Well, I mean, she is the. I mean, nobody came close to it because nobody had it happen. Have these things happen? And then the only other female performers who have had more number one albums than Taylor Swift are Barbara Streisand and Madonna. And okay. Taylor's one behind Madonna, so she'll catch up whenever the next surprise album comes out.
And still, I just can't hum a Taylor Swift tune in my head to save my life.
No, you're not the guy she's aiming at.
I know.
You know, well, Barbara Streisand wasn't. Both of those albums, I kind of combine them as a piece,
yeah,
you know, as one piece of work, but they're both on my top 10 list for the year.
Okay. Well, apparently on a lot of people's top 10 lists.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just showing up all over the place.
All right, let's get to the Van Hagar news. There's two things this week. Eddie's getting an award.
Yeah, a posthumous award. Eddie is going to be inducted into and receive a Lifetime Achievement Award from the, what's it called, the National Guitar Museum.
Now, hold on just a second. There's a National Guitar Museum.
There is.
And they hand out awards to good guitar players, right? Mm-hmm. And they never got around to giving Eddie this award.
Well, I think they've only been doing it for like the past 5 or 6 years. And, you know, the previous winners are Bonnie Raitt, B.B. King, Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath, Glenn Campbell. You know, this is not a museum that's necessarily as established
okay.
as like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or the Grammy Museum. So there's a little bit of catch as catch can. I think in those previous years, other than, you know, B.B. King, who was another posthumous award, you know, if they were able to get, they probably cast the wide net and you get whoever's willing to be live, you know, who's ever willing to participate.
Is there a dinner or anything that goes along with this in a normal year?
I think they just kind of name it and put it up on their website.
And then you get something in the mail?
I would hope a certificate of participation or something, a ribbon. You know, I'm sure they send them something. By the way, Eddie's cause of death was officially revealed to have been a stroke. You know, he was battling cancer and had been for many years, but on October 6th, he actually suffered a fatal stroke.
Okay, well,
I hadn't heard that.
That kind of came out recently.
All right, but Sam's been busy, Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, he's throughout the pandemic, he and his band, The Circle, that's the one with Michael Anthony from Van Halen and Jason Bonham on drums. They've been doing these lockdown sessions and occasionally releasing songs from them. Mostly covers, but on January 8th, the first new release Friday of 2021, we're going to get the Lockdown Sessions album, and it's going to include, you know, what we've seen as well as some other things they've done. They do have an original called Funky Feng Shui. They covered Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who, Van Halen's Good Enough, and they've also got songs by Bob Marley, AC/DC, Little Richard. You know, a couple other Van Halen songs, another original called Sympathy for the Human, David Bowie's Hero. So that's going to be a fun one. Same day, by the way, Barry Gibb from the Bee Gees is releasing an album of Bee Gees songs that he recorded with a bunch of guest artists. So
that's kind of like the Frank Duets album, isn't it?
A little bit, except that he's alive.
Well,
I guess
Frank
was alive. Frank was alive for the first one.
You got me there. Barry is still alive.
Barry is still alive.
Yeah. That's
we just have the Gibb brothers' birthdays yesterday.
Yeah, Morris and Robin.
Yeah, the Robin and Morris.
Yeah.
Who I still call Maurice.
Everybody does. Everybody does except for Barry.
Right.
And then you watch the documentary and you go, right, Morris.
Yeah, Morris, interesting. Morris. Yeah.
I ever run into him, it's Morris.
Those Australians, they never do anything like the rest of us.
So, are these old vocals of Barry in the Bee Gees?
They're all new recordings.
Some
rearrangements. Yeah, you know, none of it's. I've heard the album. None of it's going to make you trade in your Bee Gees album.
Right, because Barry's voice. I don't want to say it's shot, but
he still sounds good. But he sounds like a 70-odd-year-old version of himself.
Right, but on the Frank duets, they took the tracks from Frank's prime and put him with other artists, and those albums were spectacular.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, listen, not that the artists who work with Barry on this album don't take it seriously, but every singer I spoke with who was part of that Frank Sinatra duets project was, you know, soiling their pants during the during the sessions, even if they were just recording two tapes, and everybody brought their A double plus game during those sessions.
Well, yeah, you're singing with the chairman of the board, even though he was dead.
I mean, he was alive for the first one, if I remember right.
Oh man, I don't remember.
Maybe the first two.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but yeah, those were terrific.
I had a question about the Bee Gees documentary, I know what it was. The Bee Gees. Let's back up there because we're talking about Barry Gibb. The documentary that's on HBO. How Do You Mend a Broken Heart? When they talk at the end about, you know, the Beatles got their play, you know. And who else did they name? There was another band. They named a couple of big bands. They all got, maybe it was the Stones. And they said, but, you know, the Bee Gees, you know, deserve some attention. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bee Gees, you know.
They covered so much ground and wrote so many songs and were around for so long.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're every bit part of the upper echelon of pop music, you know, without a doubt. Maybe second-tier upper echelon. So if we say, if we think about the Beatles, the Stones, and let's say the Who, you know, and then you go down to that next tier where you have the Kinks, and that's where the Bee Gees are in terms of overall impact, the Animals, you know, and then you start to get into some of the American acts who were part of that. So no, they're definitely, you know, they've definitely not gotten their due, mostly because, you know, they were mistakenly labeled a disco act during the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that kind of, you know, it created a false impression of them. But no, they were, and I think the documentary makes a great case for how important, you know, these guys really were.
We're going to get a Whitney Houston biopic. That's a done deal. But now we have somebody who's going to play Whitney lined up. Can I make a guess before you tell us?
You can, but you'll be wrong.
Jennifer Hudson, because she plays
she's already Aretha. You can't be Aretha and Whitney in the same decade. You just can't. It's against the rules. A rising British actress named Naomi Ackie, which I believe I'm pronouncing right, is going to be part of this biopic. It's going to be called I Want to Dance with Somebody, and it is you've seen her in Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. So, you know, she does act. I mean, she's been around, and she does have some acting credits. But, you know, in a lot of ways, unless it is somebody obvious, like you say, Jennifer Hudson, then by all means bring in a newcomer. You know, bring in somebody fresh to a role like this who doesn't bring any baggage about who they are as an actor or actress.
So they're going to have somebody else sing those parts?
I think she sings as well. I mean, I think they're going to use a lot of Whitney's real vocals, which is, to me, is okay.
It's not going to be like Coal Miner's Daughter, where Sissy Spacek actually sang
the songs. Or the Elton John, you know, biopic where Taron Egerton sang.
Worst biopic ever.
I disagree.
I know we do.
Yes, we do. Even though this Whitney, I Want to Dance with Somebody biopic is being written by the guy who did Bohemian Rhapsody. Not worst biopic ever, but down towards the bottom.
No, the Elton John one, Rocket Man, is the one I'm saying.
Worst
biopic ever, because it wasn't even in order of events happening. They just
it's true. They took great liberties, but they took great liberties in the right way. So they presented to you the essence of the man in this, not the chapter and verse.
Telling a story in a linear way is out of vogue. I learned that by watching the other guys.
You know. It's okay to tell a story in a linear way if you tell it well, you know, but I just think, you know, the Rocket Man is a totally different kind of approach. And yeah, you're going to like it or you're not going to like it, not unlike Moulin Rouge way back when, you know, which was, you know, one of the first of the new wave of film musicals, and a lot of people couldn't get their heads around that.
Yeah.
Well, so you love it, or you like that stuff, or you don't.
I guess I'll never get my head around Rocket Man. Let's talk about the Beatles movie.
Man, Aren't we excited now? I mean, have you had a chance to look at the teaser?
You're going to have to tell me all about it. I'm in the dark.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I only see teasers for The Masked Dancer and The Masked Singer.
And Prodigal Son.
Bit, yeah, right.
A little bit better.
Okay, good.
A little bit better.
Good.
So 2 days ago, Peter Jackson, as kind of a holiday gift, you know, for the end of a rough year for everybody, put up, it's not even really a trailer, it's just a five-minute montage that he's been working on for this, you know, for this movie. He's made this new version of Let It Be, basically. You know, he's taking the 56 hours of footage they had from the sessions that were such a dour film, you know, back in 1970 when it was released, 71, and this is clearly going to be a more joyous representation of those sessions. I mean, trust me, this is the best 5 minutes you will spend this week.
Really?
Christmas included.
Where do I see this?
It's on YouTube. It's on, it's all over social media. It's on Facebook.
So if I just go to, YouTube.
Paul and Ringo have social media'd it out. It's just, it's mostly set to Get Back, and it's snippets from the film, and it's a ball. It's great. It's the Beatles the way you want to see them and remember them, having a good time together.
When is it actually going to be out?
August 27th.
Oh, I got to wait till August.
You have to wait till August. It was supposed to be out now.
I guess that's good, because maybe then I can see it in a theater.
Oh, that's the idea. Yeah. That's why they delayed it.
Oh, which is why you want to see something. I want to see something like that in the theater, just because I like going to the theater.
Oh yeah, no,
to see stuff. It's more of an event.
Totally do too. I mean, we do. We don't really want to see Wonder Woman even on our big screen TVs. We want to see her, something the size of a building.
But I would say that's one of the things I missed most about all this COVID stuff is the theater.
Yeah, just, theater.
Whether it's live theater or going to see a movie or whatever, just going
live,
to an event.
The live arts experience.
Yeah.
Well, those venues have had plenty of time to get all the bed bugs out of the seats too, so.
Well, yes and no. You know, they haven't been in there to necessarily do it. They did get all of the performing venues are included in the stimulus package that Congress just passed this week. There's actually even a $15 billion set aside specifically for the Save Our Stages campaign,
Well, those are jobs.
They are jobs.
When you say incredibly impacted by all this, it's an understatement, because they're literally shut down.
They were the first to close.
Yeah.
They'll be the last to reopen, but they still have to pay rents. They still have to pay insurance and utilities. And
all right, now, if you have a choice when you go see this Beatles thing in August, and we'll assume that we'll be able to go into the theaters and see it at that point, do you like to go into a theater and sit in an oversized chair with a place to set your popcorn and your soda and all that stuff, kind of like your own little table? Or do you like going and having a meal like at a bistro?
I prefer the more traditional movie experience.
Wrong. The correct answer is
quiet.
The bistro. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Not even the quiet. I don't know. There's something about eating a meal while I'm watching a movie, which I don't have that problem at home, mind you.
Right, exactly.
But in the dark theater, I've done enough things to my clothing, trying to eat meals in dark theaters, that I'm better off. I'm better off just with popcorn.
Yeah, the popcorn. I don't know. I don't usually get through the coming attractions with that.
I plow through it like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, right.
What's your go-to at the theater, Gary, when you go see a movie? As far as your snacks as you walk in?
Oh, popcorn and a soft drink.
Oh, very traditional.
Yeah, very, very.
Very traditional. Yeah. All right. What else are we going to talk about? Michael?
Keith Richards cockroach.
Okay.
All right.
The Children's Museum in West Hartford, Connecticut has taken one of its Madagascar hissing cockroaches and named it Cockroach Keith. It's actually been adopted by officials in Denver, but it's going to remain in Connecticut. So, the old joke goes, of course, that the only things left on Earth one day will be the cockroaches and Keith Richards.
Right.
Now there will be Keith the cockroach as well.
That's that's really cruel to say about Keith Richards, you know, to put him in there with the cockroaches. I mean, the guy is, he's written some of the greatest music that we've listened to.
He's also abused his body, in ways we can't imagine, and he's still
walking embalmment.
Yeah.
You know?
See, I expect this.
I think he's kind of proud of it.
I expect this from Brian, Gary. I don't expect it from you.
Well, you know, what's the line in Star Wars about Darth Vader? He's more a machine than man now.
Than man anymore.
Well, yeah. Keith Richards is. It's not machine.
He's man. He's
just more chemical than.
He's actually chemical. You know, some of it's organic.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, he's a miracle.
Is a miracle.
All right. What do you want to finish up with, Gary? What are we going to finish the year on?
We'll finish our year on.
Our year, yes.
Don't forget the A-team is going to be back next year. Since we talked about the Beatles, how about Paul McCartney's favorite Beatles song, which he talked about in an interview with Apple Music this week? You want to take a guess?
Let It Be.
His favorite. Well, I remember reading an article with John Lennon. I think it was in Playboy. Where he said, if given the opportunity, he would go back and change every single Beatles song.
Yeah, but that's so many artists are like that.
And at the time, I didn't understand it, but as I got older, I went, yeah, I see what he means. What do you say it is, Brian?
Let It Be.
Okay, you're close. Flip It Over.
The B-side,
You Know My Name, Look Up My Number, which is this crazy comedy thing that they did. It, totally a toss-off, but McCartney tells Apple Music that's probably his favorite Beatles track just because the memories of recording it were so much fun. Now, when asked about his other favorites, the kind of, come on, Paul, really, favorites, he did list Let It Be as well as Hey Jude and Blackbird and Eleanor Rigby.
Wasn't necessarily about the artistry of the tune, it was just a memory of doing.
Memory of the recording.
Because
it's a crazy tune.
How many times has Paul McCartney been asked that question? What's your favorite?
I'm sure a few times. So, you know, at this point, and I bet if we look through all of those, and you can do this with any artist, look through when they're asked their favorite song, and you get a different answer every time just because they're messing with them.
I'll bet if you asked.
I like that one. I like that answer. That's an interesting answer.
Yeah.
I'll bet that if you ask Paul McCartney what's his favorite song, not the Beatles' favorite song, just his favorite song, he would pick something by Cole Porter.
Cole Porter or a Sinatra standard.
Right.
Something probably from the Great American Songbook.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Gary.
All right. You guys have safe and wonderful holidays.
Lid on 2020 here and get out of here. What do you say?
I'm all for that.
But you're back one more time. You're
back
with Eric next week. Right, exactly. All right, Gary, have a great holiday season.
You too. Don't eat too much.
All right, take care. Gary Graff, our music guy.